Mr. Milburn, reel 8. What else do you remember about your time at Patras and your activities there before you went to hospital? Or yeah,
probably had a... we had a section further up the coast, and the river, the river blown the bridge away. And it was temporarily mended, and I had to take rations up there. This young lad had been with us. He was the officer of Batman, and I took him up and I took rations up. And when we got to the river, crossing the river, we got halfway, the river collapsed, and the jeep went in the water.
The bridge collapsed?
Aye, the bridge collapsed. And they went in the water, and I floated halfway down. Anyway, I was ready for jumping out, but we went on to the side and sort of grounded, And it was pretty scary, because it was coming from the mountains, and it was fairly fast. Anyway, we managed to get the jeep onto the side, and with all the rations in, and the lads that were on the other side happened to... that was coming down to meet us, they happened to come across and they got the rations over, but I had to take the petrol tank out and everything was full of water, and I had to take the petrol tank out and clean it down and get some, get some more petrol and get it away, but that was a bit of an incident. And eventually they cleared them out up there, so they come back, and we were there in this Patras village, and the CEO, that's Worrell, he said, I wanted you to take me up to this ELAS headquarters. So he was dying down then. They took an aerodrome there when we were up in this hills, and Hawksworth, he was our general, and he came and he landed on this aerodrome. We cleared it all there. And when we come back to Patras, went up to this ELAS. He said, "No, we're going amongst the enemy here," and put it to there's quieting down a bit. He had to go and make negotiations with him, and we're rough lot, pretty good bandoliers. Probably like bloody bandits who were. And he said, "I'll take a steady now." I said, "I'll take a steady." Anyway, I got him up there, and he went in, he come back down, and I think they come to some arrangement, and it was all over. So we come back to town, and we had a victory parade there. We had a good time, got on the way, safe then to get out. When we went back to Athens, we went the roadway. We got back to Athens, and we had our Christmas there. Well, I don't know if it was before that or after, but we had our Christmas there, that was it. And when we were there, we had a visit from the Home Secretary, Eden, because he came from Durham, and he came to see us. And Churchill came there, and I remember Churchill. Oh, by God, when we knew Churchill, they loved Churchill,
Who's it? The Durhams?
We weren't pushing.
You mean the Greeks?
The Greeks, aye. Oh, I thought it was great, but Churchill was coming to see them.
What did you lot think of him?
I tell you what, he's a great man, I tell you that. But when you have mixed feelings at times, when you're getting shot at. But he was on the way to see Stalin, they were needing. And there we had a holiday again, and I was ferrying some of the officers down. When I went to hospital, you see, Cheryl come to see us. See, Anyway, this letter we ruled out is that what Shearer come to see is in the other officers, and all are in a nurse apiece. See, they made them picnic, but they went on a picnic. Now he's to take them down to these seaside bungalow things, you know. And he's had a very good time. But when I was in hospital, the bed I took in hospital, they had I was very ill, like, and I had this boarded off. The big men were coming. It was like I'd had mountain fever or something. I hadn't had the proper rations up there. But then anyway, and then I got a bad throat, quinsy throat. And you know, it's kind of time. Most of them used to come and be a bottle of beer now and again. We had some of the footballers. There was a football team there, and some of them come to see you. Give me a bottle of beer. But that was when everything was finished, you see. And then one incident was that happened there, and we were enjoying ourselves. We went into this cafe, and we were having a few drinks, you know, and a little bit sing-song, and making a din. And there was five officers coming in, and they were in the other end. And of course, the waiter came over, he says, there's some officers over there. He said, high-ranking officers, you know. He says, there's some high-ranking officers over there. He says, you're making too much noise. So, we quieted down a bit, you know. And after a while, with the high-ranking officers, they had a few ales, they were making more noise than us. So, I went across at the middle of the floor, and I said, who's making the noise now? Now, there's bloody charge next day. He says, oh, Alan here, Alan's on the charge. He says, where are we going? He says, you know, he says, I never thought you'd do that. He says, it was very bad. We luckily, he let us off. Charges. Just one little cameo that happens. Anyway, we left. We boarded ship and run back to Italy.
Did you realise that the fighting was over in Italy, or just going to be over?
No.
So you thought you would...
It's still going, yeah. But you see, we all used to think that one day, when we're waking up, it'll be over. You used to think fantastic things. I mean, if you were in the line, and you had to take wounded back to like a safe place, you know, you were always happy in the same place. Because you just think, like, well, I'm here, you know, this is the world might be over. So we might sign the peace. Which eventually did happen, you see. But it didn't happen when you thought it would.
So what happened when you got over to Italy then?
Well, we landed Taranto. And of course, we all mustered down in this big camp that they made, you know, down in the bottom of Italy. And we prepared. Got built up again, you know, ammunition and transport and such like. We were ready to go up, and we went up, we got to a place, I forget, it was a holiday resort place where there was a bit like Bath, you know. The holiday resort, I forget what they called it. Anyway, we went to this place and near where Mussolini was born. Yeah, we went to this place and we were getting ready to go up the line, and then I had to take these officers to this briefing. And of course, when I took them to the briefing and they come back, oh, they were full of joys of spring and everything, the war was over.
That was your first news.
So, well, he said, when we got into the Jeep, he said, we're not going the line again. Well, it was over, so we started rejoicing then. And we were in this place and we managed to get some wines and such like.
Now, that's supposed to have been quite a big grand fete and celebrations and all, and decorated jeeps and things. What do you remember about all that?
Oh, I uncle and I, this one of these chaps, he decorated it. One was a gondolier, and the other one was married, you know, a married couple. And I forget what I did with mine, sure. But I must have done something good. But I just can't remember what it was now. I remember one was a gondolier, and we had like a big parade and plenty of wine. And then Tom Reynolds went out and got the wine. He could get the wine if he was in Iceland. He could have went and got wine. But that was his way. You see, he was a good barter with anybody. And of course, at night time, we had celebration in some of the houses. And the officers had the house, which was a mess, you see. And they sent for me to go over and entertain them. So when I went over, I was entertaining them. I did them a few monologues and a few dirty monologues, you know. There's a new one, was the nudist camera, I remember that, and they liked that one. And I give them Dan McCrew, you know, Dan McCrew. And the officers I've got the bent on with revolvers in, you know. And I give them Dan McGrew. You heard of Dan McGrew, haven't you? And they come, and they were giving us a whiskey or two now and again, you know. And when it comes to the end, you know, it's two guns flashed in the dark. Well, I got that out and flopped. So when I come round, I got straight up and carried on. Two guns flashed in the dark, as if it looked really weird. And I enjoyed that. Then we moved from there.
There was an accident there, wasn't there?
Aye. Well, I'll tell you what happened.
It wasn't your Jeep, though, was it?
Aye, it was my Jeep.
What happened?
They'd been in this farmhouse, and when they were coming out, they thought, you know, this bridge that had been blown, they come out, and they didn't say it. They thought it was, you know, they thought it was, when they come to it.
Was that when they were leaving the party?
Aye.
So they were drunk?
Oh, I wasn't drunk.
No, they were.
I'm driving. I'd had too much, I couldn't drive. And they come and they just went over and flopped. And the bloody Jeep it wasn't actually smashed up, but I can't remember whether anybody was injured or anything. But the Jeep was smashed up a bit, and they went away, and I was left there to go to Remy. I had to go to Remy with a Jeep, and I was with Remy all the way up. The battalion left and went up into Austria, but I didn't go with them because I was in Remy, and when Remy moved up, I moved up with them. Remy.
So were you not there when they repatriated the Yugoslavians and things with the DLF?
Oh, I was there. I didn't see much of them, maybe. You know, they were in trucks. They got into trucks and away.
Did you know what was going on?
I didn't.
Because that's quite controversial now, isn't it? Because
yes,
they were a lot of them were shot when they got back.
Well, I thought there was white Russians, you know, the coloration Cossacks. But when we got up there, we took all the horses off them, the Cossacks. And each battalion had each company, I think, had a horse apiece. And we used to race them. But that time when we first went up, they rounded all these people up, and gypsies and all, okay, you know, there were droves of them. And the next thing we knew, they were in these, you saw these trucks going on the railway. I saw some trucks. I can't remember whether there was anybody in there, but that was the sort of thing, and they sent them back. But we know now why they sent them back, you see, because they had our prisoners as well. You see, they had our prisoners. And it was controversial, as you say. We had to do things to get them. They wanted the Cossacks back. They went to them that had been fighting with the Germans, you see. And they wanted them back. And as I say, it was because they took them and they shot them, you see.
So the Yugoslavian bit was when you were in Italy, and then this bit was when you went to the Austro-Yugoslav border. There's no trouble amongst them then, the Cossacks or the Yugoslavs. They didn't resist.
No, they were sent back in these trucks. The Cossacks, I mean, the Yugoslav is where Trieste, you see, isn't it? Where the Yugoslavs were, Tito's men, because they got there before us, you see, the Yugoslavs, and they were in Trieste. And we didn't have any trouble with them, but they were, you know, be careful, they weren't to be trusted, really, because, you know, they were there first, and similar to the Russians getting into Berlin first. I don't think, if we got to Berlin first, I don't think there would be any, there would have been four quarters, like what there was. I don't know where you're a historian, you should know. I mean, there was American, French, and I mean, if we got there first, I don't think that would have happened. And of course, there was a cordon round, and people couldn't get in and couldn't get out. That was all political as well, wasn't it?
Now, what do you remember about your time in Austria? Where were you based?
We're based at Klagenfurt, in Graz, and then we went to Vienna.
And what do you remember about that? What you did in those places? You were looking after displaced persons camps and things, were you?
There was no fraternisation. You know, we were lying in a place, and this camp was near us, the Germans, and, you know, and eventually they sort of repatriated them. And then we went out looking for some of the SS, you know. You know, you got to know where somebody was, where there's a certain bloke there that they want. And I used to take Ronnie out and just have a look. But we used to get feted, you know, we went out to these villages and we went for a certain person and we got him when he was there. But when we were there, he used to give us fried chickens and snaps.
Who was the person you picked up? Do you remember his name now?
Oh, I don't remember his name now.
Did he resist at all?
No, he just come down.
Were they actual SS or just known fascists?
I don't know. I couldn't exactly say, but I know they used to go around with them up, you know. That was their job. And the Russians was still there when we got there.
In Vienna?
In Vienna, because they didn't have quarters. It was the Russian quarter and the French quarter. Well, that's what they used to do in Austria. Apart from doing that, you know, we lolled about and had a game of cricket and football and horse racing. And when in Vienna, of course, that was, you know, Vienna was a bit of a mess. I wrote a little story about Vienna.
What about?
Well, you know, I couldn't exactly say. I've got it in the Geordie, like, if you care to read it, but I kind of rhyme it off.
I mean, the Geordie started round about while you were in Austria.
Yes, Austria.
How was it produced? I mean, were you part of the production team, or did you just put things into it?
Oh, I just put things in. I've got them on there. If you care, have a look at them.
I'll look later, but on the tape. I mean, well, how was it produced? I mean, did they ask?
Some of the lads, you know, the lads was like the lads on the intelligence corps and the signals. Fellas with a few more brains than me, you know. I mean, then they used to have to be a little bit above the average intelligence, didn't they, the people in them things, and they used to put it together.
And you put in humorous articles.
Aye, I put one humorous and then one serious. And then the other one, I didn't get in because of the humorous.
So what else do you remember about your time in Austria?
Oh, Wilden, a place called Wilden. I remember that because it was Christmas. And we had a Christmas party. And we went back to in our vino, and I remember that. God, I was scared to bloody death, and I was in the Jeep, and I was bloody drunk, you know, driving it. Bloody hell. When I got out at this little place, Villac, it was like a big house, you know, like a mansion in England. Sloshes, that's what they call them, slosh. And when I went back to the I remember Ronnie coming in like after, which, and he wanted to go down, and I was lying on the bed out, and I remember he just kicked me fucking away, and he really took the Jeep himself. He used to, at night time, they went to a certain place near Milton, and he used to drive. Bloody erotic. Bloody dry. He said he's put down there, babe. And of course, the first, you know, them Jeeps. And coming back, I always remember they went to this house, like an officer's mess from another regiment, so it was. And they had a good night. And I heard him saying he's coming back, this other officer called Stead. He says, "Well, I'm away now to put the window up mill door in." Mind you, bloody did. He got his foot down there. And he nearly hit this bloody Bailey Bridge. That's just a Bailey Bridge coming here. And anyway, when I gets back, I was shaking like a bloody leaf. I said, I went to the next one. I said, "I think I'll have to resign from driving." I said, "You'll have to get somebody else to drive." But anyway, I never did, like, you know.
So you got on well with Ronnie Sherlock?
Oh, yes. Famous with Ronnie.
Were you on first name terms then?
No,
I mean,
no way. Going up that hill, I think, going up that hill at Germano when I was talking to him. If I remember rightly, he gave us a street out of his little whiskey thing, you know, whiskey bottle. The things, yeah, flask guy.
He was a popular officer then.
Oh yes, nice. Yes, he's nice.
So.
Yeah. Officers weren't bad in the battalion.
So what else do you remember about Austria after Christmas? It didn't last much longer after.
I went to Vienna, and I went to concert there. They had this concert, a big orchestra, huge orchestra it was, and the boys' choir. Vienna Boys Choir was there in this big orchestra, and they played the Strauss waltzes and things like that. And I remember going to a music hall there, you know, it was coming, you know, it was German, and everybody was laughing, you know, and you couldn't understand the jokes at all.
Now, what about the actual demobilisation? Were you looking forward to being demobilised?
Oh, yeah, yes, we were. Aye.
Were you getting impatient?
No, exactly. No, because when I was there, I took a detachment of men up into the Alps, you know, not the Alps, up into the mountains for skiing. I enjoyed that at a place called Trihouten. It's nothing like what these are going to tell you then, but it's a place called Trihouten. And of course, right on the top, and I took up there to ski, and I used to have a bit of skiing. While we were there, the cook went off with a young Austrian, with an old bloody cook, and they got me to cook. You know, they did a right hash of it, I'll tell you that. Anyway, they got something, but I put all the sugar in the one Dixie, you know, we had rice, and I put all the sugar in one, and there was all the sugar. And you used to play hell about the cooks, but they had a job to do, and I mean, I couldn't do it. And we had this meet, you know, and I had to get, I give it to the woman to throw in there to cook. She cooked it.
This is on the skiing party.
This is on the skiing party. The cook book got off. But anyway, we got it back and he wasn't put on the charge of anything because, you know, there's always a different feeling whenever you've been in action with anybody, there's that different feeling. We wanted to come back. We didn't want him to be on a charge and go back to and we couldn't get another one in, so he'd spent the night at home with us Austrian.
Now what about the battalion broke up in February? Yeah. How did that affect you?
The battalion? Oh, well, I wasn't there when it broke up.
When did you leave then?
I left just before the I've got the dates, so put the dates there.
Well, the battalion broke up in about February and you left just before then.
I left just before, yes.
And what happened?
Like I say, well, you were more of just along the round, you know, and the CEO come and give you a speech, like, and was supposed to give you one of these things, but we never got one.
One of what?
Well, it was a form of...
A demob?
A demob, it was from the CEO, something from the CEO.
So then you went back to England, and were you straight out then?
Back to England, went out of the shot for a couple of nights, and then went to Woking to get fit out with clothes. And from there, travelled up to...
Now, had your job been kept for you?
I mean,
you went back on the buses?
I went back on the buses.
Were you still a conductor, or did you want to be a driver now?
I wanted to be a driver, but one night, when I was conducting, we stopped me in this pub. I went in for a pint or two while we were waiting. And somebody must have told the boss, phoned the garage, you know, and he come up, caught us, because, you know, walk. So I didn't bother. But I went from there to the pitch, you see. Best thing that ever happened.
Going down the pit?
To go from the conduct. There's more money. And you had better times, you see. You were off the weekends.
Had the war affected you in any way, do you think? I mean, mentally or physically?
I don't think so, no. No, I don't think it did. I've dreamt about it quite a few, you know, maybe it's a year or two when I come back. It's the waking up and, you know, the wife used to waken us up sometimes. But you just dreamt about things.
You were all right?
Yes, but I was all right. I mean, it didn't affect us at all.
Thank you very much.